You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we are looking at players who might be sell high candidates across the NBA. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it, indeed.
Of course, this does not mean you just sell them for anybody. It means if you can get value, you get rid of them. If you can't, you just ride out the hot streak and then see what happens after that. And this is not 100% an exhaustive list. If you have other names that you think might be sell highs, drop them down in the comments below or tweet them at me or on Instagram, redrock_bball or Instagram Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Let's bring up the list for this week as we begin to head into the All-Star break. The first guy on my list is Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. The 12th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Why? Because he's shooting 52% from the field and 48% from three for a true shooting of 65%, averaging 23 points per game as well. Almost seven assists. Giannis has missed a couple of those games there as well. Now, Middleton's been pretty good this season. He's been the 31st ranked player. He's played 29 minutes a game. So there's a few things in play here. Four extra minutes a game. The shooting, which has been great all season, is not this good and will never be this good. And those assists are way up. So I don't think you're going to be able to convince someone to give you a top 12 play. In fact, there's almost no chance of that. But can you get someone to give you a top 20 guy? I reckon you're within the realms of possibility. But in nearly all of these situations, when you're trying to get value, try and bamboozle your opponent by throwing multiple players, two for twos, not necessarily two for ones, because people are a little bit aware of the two for ones now. And especially if you throw two players to get the one back, they'll be like, oh, why am I going to give up the good player? Because that is a common theme across fantasy. In a two for one, you nearly always want the one. You nearly always want the good player, the better player. But you can confuse value by throwing two for twos out there, three for threes. Don't go too far, otherwise you'll end up confusing yourself and end up getting dicked in the end. But a two for two, including someone like Middleton and trying to squeeze that little bit of extra value out of what he's been doing recently, I think is a really good way to go. And again, at a top 20 player, I think is, or top 25, is within the realms of possibility and trying to just sell off of this hot streak from Chrissy at the moment. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, has been ridiculous since returning from his ankle sprain. 33 minutes a night in those four games, 28 points over five assists, and shooting a nonsense 59% from the field.
What?
He's also been at 48% from three, including, and 67% on twos. That number is obviously going to come down. The ankle's still bothering him. There's no doubt about that. He's made it clear that the ankle's still bothering him. He's not doing anything defensively. He rarely does, only 0.5 steals. But that level of shooting has zero chance of being able to stick. He's the 47th ranked player over the course of this season. I think his upside is a little bit limited long term because he's never going to be like an 8 assist guy or a 1.5 steals guy or even anywhere close to this level of shooter. But this has been unbelievable for Murray. So try and cash in. See if you can get that top 35 guy back in exchange and look at what he's doing here because people might forget what he did before the injury because it's weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And look at what he's doing. Hey, look at how well he's playing with Jokic. He's only 23. There's still so much growth in him. This level of production, this level of shooting from the Blue Arrow, it just doesn't have an ability to sustain, and he is going to drop off. And there'll be times when he drops off, and you've seen him on my Buy Low podcast plenty of times before. And to the people who want to comment there, how can he be sell high and then buy low? That is just 100% how this stuff works. When someone's struggling, you buy them low. When they're playing well, you sell them high. That is absolutely fantasy basketball or any sort of stock trading apparatus. 101. Murray is at a peak right now, an unsustainable peak. You sell it off. He drops down to become the 120th ranked player because he's shooting 38%. You buy him low and you try and take advantage of those people who are overreactionary in terms of valuing their players. This one's an interesting one. The Baptist John Collins, he's been really good. He's the 23rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 25 and 13. Do I think that he can continue this? Of course he could. He's shooting 62 from the field. Not all that outrageous. 80% from the line. Fine. A block per game. A three per game. No worries. But Clint Capela's going to arrive, and he is going to take some of those rebounds away. He's going to take some of those lob attempts away. So we're going to see a decrease in usage. The 38 minutes a night that Collins is playing is probably going to come down. The blocks might come down. The field goal percentage might come down as they try and turn him into a little bit more of a stretchy type of player. So there is going to be a drop in his value. Now, Collins is exactly where I thought he'd be at the beginning of the season. He's the 17th ranked player over the course of the season. We had him as a back end second round guy. That is exactly the same spot. But I think Capella can lose him a round and a half, 2 rounds of value just by dropping blocks, rebounds, field goal percentage, and a dip in usage. And I say just, that's 4 things that could drop. But they're all realistic things that can drop. And that's going to cause a hit in his value. There'll be the people there who think Capella's not coming back this season, or we haven't seen Capella in there, or hey, Dedmon's playing minutes, it's not impacting Collins. Capella is a much different player to what Dedmon is. And it is going to have an impact on him, I'm pretty certain. It might not, and I still believe in Collins. I'm not convinced the Hawks believe in Collins long term, and that's why they brought in 5 centers at the trade deadline. So I do think there is going to be a drop coming, but it's only going to come once we get Capella back, and that's going to be after the break. So trying to sell high now while the drop hasn't occurred is probably a good idea. Lord Alfred Payton is right up the rankings, 27th over the last 2 weeks, averaging 14, 7, and 10 with almost 3 steals. He is shooting only 55% from the line, but 45% from the field. So what's going to not happen there? Well, 3 steals a game isn't going to happen. 10 assists probably isn't going to happen. And with how the Knicks are going, I can see those 33 minutes a night start to come down to a 27, 28 minute a night role. They might put Frank Ntilikina in for some more minutes. They might get Dennis Smith. They might even run Kadeem Allen, or they might sign some other scrub out of the G League to play some of those minutes. I just don't see 33, 34 minutes a night for Payton with 3 steals and 10 assists being able to stick. Now, if he's on your wire, he's an absolute guaranteed 100% must-add player, but he's also not going to be able to maintain top 100 numbers. In fact, over the season, he's played 27 minutes a night, and he's the 101st ranked guy. I think I might have said top 100 there, top 50. At the moment, you know, top 30 is not a realistic expectation for Payton. So any top 60, top 70 type of guy you can get back for him, maybe a guy, look on that Buy Low podcast I did yesterday, target one of those players who is struggling a little bit and see if you can make that change. Because I do think once we head into fantasy playoffs, those 33 minutes from Payton will come back to 28 or 29, and that will have an impact. Plus then the steals and the assists and all that drops off as well. This one's an obvious one, I think, but yeah, people do believe in this guy.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Jay Crowder has been ridiculous since joining Miami. In fact, over his last 5 games, he's the 38th ranked player. Why? Because he's hitting 2.5 threes. He's shooting 50% from the field, including 45% from three. He's playing 30 minutes a night. I think that they are going to use him at power forward a lot, as they should, because there's no point without a Linick and Myers-Leonard nonsense, and Leonard's out for quite a while now with this ankle injury. But Crowder is not a shooter like this. He is not this good of a shooter, and even the steal numbers are really up at the moment. He had one season where he was good at steals, and every other year, it's been well down. So while Crowder is the 126th ranked player this year in 30 minutes a night, he's not a top 40 guy. If he's on the wire, you can add him by all means, but if you can flip him for any sort of top 80 or top 90 sort of a guy, I would absolutely be doing that, because again, this level of shooting, a true shooting of 71% over the last 5 games, is not going to be able to stick, and that level of steals and those level of rebounds probably aren't going to stick from Crowder, who has been one of the most inconsistent players in the entire NBA so far this season. Big Serge Ibaka is on my list as well, because once Marc Gasol returns, Ibaka's 32, 33 minutes a night are going to come back to 24 or 25 a night. We've seen it happen once already this season. Sorry, we saw it happen at the beginning of the season. Gasol got hurt, Ibaka's numbers rose. Gasol came back, Ibaka's numbers dropped. Gasol's going to come back again, and Ibaka's numbers are going to drop. Now, he's the 41st ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 21 and 6 with 2 threes a game. His blocks are mysteriously absent, and I don't think they're ever coming back. He's also shooting 61% from the field, which will never stick at that sort of a level. But it's all about the 32 minutes going back to 25 minutes, and that just pushes him way out of the discussion. I think that once Gasol's back, he's probably not even a top 100 player, and he could turn into a 12-team drop guy. So any top 100 guy that you can get back in exchange for Ibaka, I would absolutely be doing that. Maybe you sacrifice 2 or 3 games of good level of production, but with Gasol likely back after the break, you're not going to be losing all that much out there. Same goes with Paul Millsap. People have been really, really interested in what he's done, and for good reason, because he's been awesome since coming back. 2 games back, 19 minutes, and he's the 66th ranked player. 17 points in 19 minutes, 9 rebounds. Like, that's good numbers if you played 30 minutes, 17 and 9. 2.5 threes. But 59% usage, 59% field goal percentage, 30% usage, 63% three-point shooting. Not one person listening to this podcast believes that can stick. Jeremy Grant has been playing pretty well, and I think, you know, 25 minutes to preserve Millsap's health will be exactly what he gets as we move forward. He won't shoot this well. He won't take this many shots. And then he'll fall back to being the 120th, 130th ranked player. I think you can add him in a 12-team league for sure. But someone wants to buy into this and looks at it and goes, Paul Millsap, I remember he was an all-star when he played for the Atlanta Hawks, you know, 7 years ago, however long it was. I know that's an exaggeration. Use this game, use these two games, use this elevated usage, use what he's doing at the moment to bamboozle somebody into thinking that he's going to be a top 70 guy as we move forward. I don't see it. I don't see there's any way that happens, and move on. Jordy Clark's another guy who people get infatuated with because he comes out and puts up good scoring nights, and he has been excellent for the Jazz. There's no doubt about that. Now, Clarkson's a guy that's been shit on for ages, including by me, predominantly. A non-winning player with the Lakers who just go out and jack up his own shots and not involve other people. Did the same for the Cavs. And now, finally, he's on a good team. And you know what? He's playing really, really well. Like, really well. But the way that he is scoring at 22 points per game on 55% shooting, including shooting 49% from three, is not going to stick. Will he also be able to maintain those 27 minutes a night? Well, there is a possibility of that, depending on what they do with Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles and how they utilize those minutes. But this level of production from Clarkson, who is 146th over the course of the season in 24 minutes a night, which, you know, 24 to 26 is probably a realistic expectation for Clarko, he just won't be this good. And yeah, he's even in this time where he's averaging 22 points a game, 2.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.6 steals, that usage and shooting drops off and he's a nothing. He's an absolute nothing. Like, he's worse than Dylan Brooks' nothing. And all those things, you look at it and go, well, there's no way that it sticks. He can't be this good of a shooter. He won't maintain that level of efficiency at that level of usage, and maybe not at those minutes. They are all three bright red flags that should signify a drop off in his production. And the last guy I want to talk about is Mr. I don't want to be in Sacramento anymore, Bud Hield, who has been really, really strong coming off the bench. 29 minutes a game over his last seven, the 40th ranked player. Excellent stuff. 20 points a game. 4.7 threes per game. So what is unrealistic here? Well, he's shooting 48% from three, and he's a good three-point shooter. Don't get me wrong. He's not a 48% three-point shooter. He's a 41, 42 maybe guy. Maybe best case he's a 43% guy. He's shooting 51% from the field overall. That volume of threes, a true shooting of 70%, 68%, sorry, on a 24% usage, plus his general unhappiness with the organization, I think there is a pretty big drop-off coming here for Hield, because that shooting, those shooting numbers won't stick, and he's not going to continue to hit 4.7 triples per game at that level of conversion. And again, when those numbers drop off, what else is he bringing? Now, he is rebounding at a pretty strong rate. The usage is okay coming off the bench. He's not as strong of a sell high as what these other guys are. But if you want to look at someone, and people can easily be convinced on Buddy Hield as a top 40, top 30 guy, especially if they erroneously want to include turnovers in rankings, then you can actually get him for a higher rate because he just doesn't handle the ball or turn it over very much. You can get that top 40 guy back. I am pretty confident you'll be able to do that with Bud Hield. That'll do it for me today, guys. I'll be back later today to recap the absolute ball-bursting 11-game day in the league and then previewing those last two games before we head into the All-Star break. I am going to be doing some shows during the break. I'm going to do one of them as a mailbag-only show. So head across to Instagram on my Instagram story, and you can ask the questions over there that I will answer on that show. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.